This is the Power Aesthetic Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Paul Wagoner, and I just want to jump right in today. I've come up with kind of seven little steps, seven little things over the last couple of weeks and some of the conversations that I've had with people. I still do a little bit of consulting, not as much as I used to, but mostly what I'm on the phone doing is talking to people about, instead of talking to them about like their actual brand or business or anything like that, a lot of what I wind up talking to them about is how to actually get motivated and clarity on actually just getting started and doing the fucking thing. So I wanted to talk today about just getting shit done, getting to it, and what the best ways are. So with that being said, we are just going to get to it in the best way, which is now. The first thing to do when you set about to accomplish anything, thing number one, is you've got to know what you actually want, and you've got to know what you want clearly. You have to have specificity of target. I had recently reread and sent out in an email not long ago the book Psycho-Cybernetics, which is pretty interesting, but I can save you the read by talking about the idea that it's basically just mental programming, and there's a lot of actual cool shit in there, so check the book out. But the idea is that if human beings are sort of like homing missiles, like computer-style homing missiles, they can only home onto what targeting images they're fed. And so, in other words, if I feed a targeting missile a picture of a mountain, it might hit any mountain. It may not be the mountain that I want it to hit. I may kill a nice family of people that are just trying to live back up there in the woods without being bothered by anybody who might have possibly altered something against federal law. And next thing you know, they're getting sniped through the cabin doors. It is not good to randomly target stuff. That was a joke, by the way. But you want to be able to have very tight specificity on where it is that you're going. And I think one of the issues for this with a lot of people is that, number one, they don't have specificity, which is obviously an issue. It's like they're like, well, I want to write a story. Okay, well, that's great, but there's a lot of stories in the world, Chuckles. You know, there's so many, in fact, that, you know, when I was talking to one of my friends the other day, I was talking about wanting to get back into writing and hopefully, ideally, finishing some fiction. And I was like, yeah, I'm not really sure what I want to write about. And he's like, oh, well, that's a major problem. It's like, you got to fucking have the story in your mind already before you sit down to write. You know what I mean? And then you're not just winging it. You need to know what the scene is. And then you explain the scene specifically. But I think the other thing is that a lot of people deceive themselves on what they want, or what they actually want. I think people have ideals in their minds sometimes that are not necessarily in line with who they really are or what they actually want. And a lot of that comes down to knowing yourself. Some people will say, you know, if I could just do X, Y, or Z, and I'm like, I don't know, would you really be happy doing X, Y, or Z? Like, what do you really want? And so I always tell people not to be realistic, but instead think boldly for sure. And that will help you get to what you actually want, at least specifically. And then you can start hacking away at it with that sharp edge of reality. But that, don't deceive yourself. You know, in other words, if you're saying, well, I want to maintain 6% body fat year round, are you sure that's what you actually want? Because that's going to be really, really hard to accomplish. And it's also going to put you into a great deal of discomfort, like the whole year. Do you actually mean that you just want to get like a lot leaner than you are now and look good, like with your clothes off or whatever the fuck it is? Those are majorly different goals. And a lot of us have the tendency to kind of like swing really, really hard in a direction where we're like, actually, I don't know, that doesn't even, I don't even think that I would enjoy doing that. Sometimes it's a project of elimination. I've said before, I think that the process of elimination is the process of illumination, because a lot of times we have to do shit until we realize, okay, that wasn't it. But be specific and avoid self-deception at first, at the outset. And then third, ask yourself whether you want it bad enough, because nothing good is easy. That's been said a million times in a million different ways, but it's true. Unless you've like won the lottery or something like that, it's pretty uncommon. But there's very few things that you can attain in this life that are going to come to you easily if you didn't start out having them. In other words, if you weren't a musical prodigy, If you're not like a savant, it's going to be difficult to learn how to play the fucking piano like Rachmaninoff, you know, or if you're somebody who doesn't have a great aptitude toward, I don't know, playing sports, if you were born with, you know, multiple sclerosis, no one's saying that you can't play basketball. There's all kinds of shit out there for all kinds of people, but you've got your work cut out for you. You know, it's going to be tough. But even just if you didn't inherit a shitload of money, it's tough to make money, and it requires a lot of work. I won't say that it's tough. Hard makes things sound like they're somehow miserable. I enjoy challenges, and so they're not miserable. They are difficult. They are challenging. So know that anything that you get into, once you have a specific concept of what you want to do and you haven't lied to yourself about it, don't lie to yourself about how hard it's going to be. Understand that it's going to take time, and it's going to take dedication and discipline like all things do, and that you're in for it, and you've got to want it bad enough. Once you've got those out of the way, that's all like one. That's step one. Step two is setting endless goals. In other words, everyone always says, I'm a super goal-oriented person. And there's a lot of people who are saying what I'm about to say now who have probably said it better than me, but I really like this concept. It's like setting endless goals is a great way to have endless goals. Not necessarily a great way to get to them. And this may be like semantics. This may be like midwit kind of annoying things where it's like, don't set goals, have systems. But I really think that there's a truth to that, at least in my life, because using like patterns, like repeatable patterns that are foundational for me in my day to day is way better than saying I want to get to X or Y or Z, because it one sets up this sort of like attainable ideal, and then you get there, and then once you've gotten to that like shorter term goal, it kind of like drops off. Rather, you can ask yourself the question, what kind of person do I need to be in order to X, Y, or Z? So I've talked about this before, but like with jiu-jitsu, one of the reasons that people quit, I think so much is that in jiu-jitsu, your thought process should be number one, that the belt doesn't necessarily matter, but my skill growing and increasing daily is what actually matters. That's true. But the belt still does matter. You know, it feels good to get promoted and all the rest of this. But white belts sometimes put so much emphasis on the goal of getting their blue belt that when they get their blue belt, it seems like such a big deal, and it can take a long time. You know, I know guys who were, I know some people, a friend, you know, who were white belts for a long time. And so when you get the blue belt, it's a pretty big fucking deal. It feels like something you really worked really hard for. And then it's hard to think, you know, in terms of, oh my God, it's 8 more years or 10 more years or however long to get my black belt. But a lot of them put the blue belt up on such a pedestal that once they get it, they quit. You know, a great percentage of people quit at blue belt because they feel like they got what they came for, because they attained that goal, rather than saying, what sort of individual do I need to be every day on a daily, weekly, monthly basis in order to be the kind of guy who eventually is going to get a black belt. So these are good things to have in mind when you set out, is just setting yourself up for success daily by doing things that function on a daily level, rather than setting these like 1 to 3 year goals or whatever. It's like, well, just set a goal of the kind of person that you want to be and then be that. It's not rocket science. You just have to do it. That's two. Three is, these all have these cutesy little titles because I write this way, but three is like understanding your chutes and ladders. You remember that game when you were a kid? It's like you'd infuriatingly roll the dice and you'd be like, oh, sick, I'm like at the top level of the game, and then you'd hit the little slide and you'd go all the way the fuck back down, and your brothers would talk shit and take the dice, and then it's their turn. But you also can hit ladders, and if you land on a ladder, you get to jump up like a layer. You have to understand what those are for you, because there's building blocks and there's stumbling blocks in front of any goal, and they're like made of the same material. Things that are building blocks to some people are not to other people, and vice versa, in that you know you, maybe, I hope, well enough to know what you need to do and what you need to not do in order to accomplish whatever this lifestyle change is. So in other words, asking yourself the question, I would say like maybe every week or something like that, but every day kind of, is if you've already set this goal and you've set well, you know, if you if you know what you want, if you know what you want out of life, if you know that you have this thing, you know, that you need to change your lifestyle in order to have, you know, this something long term, some ideal, then you have to ask the question to yourself, you know, what will help me live this way today, and what is hindering me from living this way today? And you have to be specific there too. You have to use specificity there, because sometimes we lie to ourselves. Well, often I think probably we lie to ourselves and we'll say, oh, you know, it's not drinking that's my problem. It's stress, you know, or stress makes me drink, or we're not often comfortable identifying things that make us uncomfortable about the story that tells us about ourselves. That's sort of a weird way to say it, but we like to tell ourselves a story about ourselves where we're the strong character, where we're the hero, where we're the good guy. And sometimes when we're telling that story, it can be hard to admit that, no, you're doing this thing that's sabotaging yourself, and you know exactly what it is if you be honest with yourself. And that's a major hindrance, a major stumbling block to living your life the way that you need to live it in order to be this, you know, black belt or whatever it is, or a black belt at something. And you have to be able to identify that stuff, be honest with yourself and say, okay, this is a major hindrance for me. And then on a positive level, identifying things and saying, you know, these things really help me. You know, if journaling every day helps you achieve your goals on the mats or whatever it is, you know, we're using this jiu-jitsu analogy, but then you need to use it, and you need to not be lazy and actually use what is beneficial to you. You need to actually use your building blocks, because just because we know they're good and we know that they work, oftentimes we don't do them because all of us have a lack of discipline. Or if we all had it, we'd all be fucking millionaires and rock stars and shit, right? But we have to use the building blocks, and we have to actually avoid the hindrances. Often in life, it's much easier to not use the building block because it's hard, and to indulge in our hindrances and to indulge in our stumbling blocks, because it's a lot easier to sit down when you get home from work and crack a beer and turn on fucking Netflix than it is to get home from work, suit up, go to the gym, do your thing, come back, work on your business and whatever. That's tough, but that's the kind of lifestyle that you know you need to have. So that's three. Four, I call simply press. This is like a internal crew phrase that we've used in our group for a really long time. That basically means like, just start now. Simply press play. And it's about the idea that I've seen so many dudes fuck up on shit, on all kinds of different shit, by setting a date for themselves. This is when I'm going to quit smoking cigarettes. It's like, well, why don't you just quit smoking today? Like, if you don't want to smoke, just stop it. Stop now. They'll give themselves too much time on a project. I'm going to get this book written in 2 years. And you're like, well, what about 30 days to a rough draft, or 60 or something like that? Wouldn't that feel a lot better? A lot of people fail to challenge themselves. And so what will happen is, instead of thinking, well, this is something good, fuck waiting to do something good, they take too much time planning and they delay forever. You know, they wind up getting analysis paralysis, basically, or they're too easy on themselves and they won't execute. And so the plan gets stuck and frozen in this sort of like unrealized potential. And then people are like, oh man, I had this good idea once. And you're like, shut the fuck up about your ideas. I know I'm swearing a lot on this episode. Sorry, I'm tired and mad at people that I've been doing these consult calls with, because some of them I'm like three calls deep in and they still haven't done any of the stuff that we've talked about. And it's because they're giving themselves too much time and they're thinking too hard about it. It's, you know, you can field dress a wound in the field, you know. There's a lot of stuff that you can adjust on the fly. And one of the things I learned in financial is that if you're the type of person who says, hey, I know we're making like $500,000 a month here, but maybe we should just like slow down and turn a couple of these things off and fix things and then start back up again, you'll get fired. They're like, no, fix it now. Fix it while we're working. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to fucking work. Let's keep going. And so don't get caught up trying to plan something perfect, and don't wait to do something good. If your goal is, if you're whatever the fuck you want to call it, if your long term is, I'm not going to smoke cigarettes anymore, your day-to-day is, what type of person do I need to be to not smoke? It's like, well, don't carry cigarettes. Tell people you're a non-smoker. Do things that are going to discourage you from smoking, like do cardio every day, like punishing cardio, and know that you're going to do it every day. So like every time you get on the mats, you don't want to have one. You know, you've got to just be brutal with yourself sometimes and not coddle yourself to be like, well, I think I need 6 months to do this. It's like, well, yeah, if you give yourself 6 months, that's what you're going to need. If you give yourself 6 hours, that may be a little too extreme. But if you give yourself 6 weeks, you might be amazed at how powerful you are and what you can accomplish. So don't sell yourself short. Number five, I think we're on five, is not doing and not finishing becomes habitual. This is why the systems rule. The systems rule gives you the patterns, your geometry, whatever you want to call it. It gives you stuff that you can do now. And it gives you shit that you can do, small things that you know are improving your life and that you know are taking you toward that goal that you want to ultimately accomplish, but it's not really accomplishing the goal. It's then living as the person who's done that thing that you set out wanting. So it's the difference between fad eating versus like actually like lifestyle eating. It's the difference between a diet and just how I eat. You know, it's maddening to me where people are like, well, I'm going to go on this diet or I'm going to go on that diet for a while. And you're like, imagine if you just changed the way that you ate. And this is not like any new idea, but it's like, if you just changed the way that you did things forever, you wouldn't ever have to worry about another diet again. This would be the norm for you. And you would just do it and keep doing it and become consistent. And once the consistency becomes easy, you can make further adjustments in order to course correct. So don't get in the habit of not finishing shit, and don't get in the habit of not finishing shit because you don't start shit. It's like, just start doing something. And then once you start doing it, you can start to course correct and continue to like get better and better at that. So four is simply press. Five is not finishing shit is habitual. You will find that when you do the little things and you finish them and you bring them to completion, it's easier to bring other stuff to completion as well. And that you'll start completing things habitually rather than being the kind of person who everyone goes, oh yeah, he's starting another project again, because they know it's not going to get finished and they know that you're going to have this. And then you're going to get embarrassed when they bring it up a year later and go, hey, what about that novel you were writing, huh? That great American novel, huh, Brian? And they're going to get you with it and you're not going to be able to say anything except, shit, you're right. The final one, I think I said this was seven steps. I guess it's more like six. With all these other ones, seven, six, whatever we're on, 14 is accountability. You know, I've talked a lot about this one too, but everyone these days, they've got stupid dumbass tattoos everywhere like me, and they've got a belly rocker that says self-made, eyebrow cursive tattoo, self-made, underneath the eye, there's a dagger holding a hand that's getting bit by a snake, and there's a scythe over their other sideburn, and on the side of their head it says self-made. And it's like, you're not self-made. I like, almost nobody is self-made. Almost everyone is made by advice that they took, books that they read, movies that they saw, art that they appreciated, you know, tips that they got, whatever it is. You know, even the fact that it's like, well, you didn't go back in time and become your own dad and have sex with your own mom in order to birth yourself. That's like the plot of a Chuck Palahniuk story, I think. But like, you're not self-made. A lot of other people had a hand in you being where you are. So first of all, take a step back off your ivory tower and chill the fuck out and quit being an egomaniac and realize that not only are you not self-made, but that accountability is something really, really valuable. If you don't have anybody that you're accountable to, you don't feel accountable to anyone, then it's really just about what you feel like getting done. Now, self-accountability is excellent and something that everyone should develop. In other words, I have to keep my word to myself because my word to myself is very important, critical. But finding other people that you respect enough to be accountable to. For example, studies have shown that people who work out with a partner are much less likely to miss a workout because if you're not there at 6, he's going to text you and call you a pussy. That accountability, it works in everything. It's one of the reasons why writers, they hand their shit off for other people to read, like chapter by chapter, so that when they don't turn one in, they go, hey, what the hell's going on here? You know, or why you have a coach or you go train jiu-jitsu somewhere with people who keep you accountable. So finding that and putting that into your life is critical. And yeah, we ultimately have to learn to
to be our own taskmasters. You know, we have to learn the hard way sometimes to really drive ourselves forward and keep ourselves on the right track, because it's also a habit to break our word to ourselves, where if we go in for a workout, we say we're going to be on the treadmill for 20 minutes and we quit at 10. Well, the next time we're going to quit at 9, and the next time we're going to quit at 7, and so on. Whereas if we're there at the gym with somebody that we respect a lot, we can almost guarantee that we're not going to quit so fast as we might have if we were by ourselves. I've talked a little bit before about the idea, but I've created some of these in my own mind for myself. Some of them are people that I don't like, or I don't hold a lot of grudges, but there's a few people that I've held grudges against that I'll continue holding a grudge against. And sometimes I imagine what they're up to, how hard they're training. And I use that for accountability. I don't want to run into a scenario where I come across these people again and they've trounced me in every way. I want to win. I'm competitive. Another one, and probably more positive and healthy, although I think competition is healthy, is that's another one, though, everyone will always tell you. That's maybe a whole other podcast. Everyone's like, the only person you're competing against is the person in the mirror. I disagree. There's a value in competition. There's a value against in comparing yourself to other people and setting unrealistic beauty standards for yourself so that you can look like He-Man. But I also do this positively. I think about people I respect, people I admire, and I imagine them next to me on the treadmill, or I imagine them whatever it is. You know, if I don't want to get out of bed and I want to hit the snooze, I imagine like really disciplined, really hardcore people that I know and their look of disappointment. And I go, oh, fuck, man. Like if they were right here right now, I wouldn't let them down, you know? And so that can be helpful too. But accountability plays a major role. So whether you create that, developing self-accountability, but then whether you kind of create this, you know, almost what if so-and-so was over my shoulder, or best, that's sort of like good, better, best. Best is to actually have a real live human being, people to keep you accountable and to be part of your peer group that won't accept less than your best from you. So that's a few steps. These are good things. Know what you want. Know what you want clearly. Specificity. Setting endless goals, great way to have lots more goals. Never get anything done. Understand your chutes and ladders, your stumbling blocks. Simply press play. Don't give yourself too long to accomplish it and fuck waiting around to do something good. Not doing and not finishing stuff is habitual, so set a habit for finishing. And then accountability. Be accountable to someone or at least some ideal so that you can push yourself further than you might normally have if you were just alone, nuclear, a speck of dust by itself in a great black universe. This is not the case, I hope, for you. Even if you feel that way, it is absolutely not true. Everybody who came before you is the reason you're here now, so you're accountable to someone at least. Other than that, just get shit done. Work hard. Train hard today, guys, and if you're struggling with anything, just remember, simple is good. Set something in your mind that you're trying to get toward or achieve, and think about the smallest fucking thing that you can do toward that, and do that every single day. And then as soon as that becomes a little bit easier, add something else in. Have a good day, guys. I'll talk to you soon.